Good morning. Does anybody have that upper respiratory stuff? You do? Okay, that was my gift to you, and I got it from Natalie. So it'll get better, but it will get worse before it gets better, okay? And next Sunday night, really try to be here. We have the Junior High Devo that we're doing, and these youngsters work very hard on that, and I'd appreciate it, and they would appreciate it more if you would come and stare at them so they're more nervous. But do come to that, because we always need to be encouraging the young to grow old and mature. And then on Wednesday, Speedy Hart, the other co-director of Focus Northeast from Sunset, will be here. He's going to meet with our elders. He's the guy I'm working with down at Sunset for the efforts up here in the Northeast. And I believe he's bringing the lesson on Wednesday. And then in December, we're going to start a series of lessons. We're going to the remaining four chapters we have in Romans we'll begin to cover in January. But in December, I'm going to cover a series of lessons that the elders have asked me to do concerning our vision here at Camp Hill Church of Christ. And explain more about the cell groups that we're going to be doing and some other plans that we have. Because how can we all be on the same page if we don't open the book and look at the page? And so that's what we're going to do. And I'd like to welcome everyone here today. And also those of you who are joining us through the internet. It always brings me great joy thinking. I was telling Abby about Brother Morgan today, and she was in the car with me. And it's, you can talk quite a bit about all the people who do watch, the Golden Livingites, Tiffany from Ligonier, and my mom, she watches. She lives out in a rural area in Iowa, and Post Church of Christ is a long ways away, and she joins us live every Sunday, and it's nice to be able to live in a technological age where you can do that. You can do so much wrong with the internet, but you can do some things that are right. We appreciate you joining us as well. This morning, I want to have a special lesson on thanks, because after all, it is Thanksgiving. If you thought you escaped the last turkey meal of the year, you still got potluck, and I know there's going to be turkey down there. There's going to be dressing. It's going to look like Thanksgiving again, and please try to stay. Hi, Elaine. I see Elaine's here. And I wanted to cover a lesson on Thanksgiving, and The title of the lesson this morning is Thanks is an Attitude of Gratitude. Thanks is an Attitude of Gratitude. And I really want to communicate a challenge to you this morning. You'll get the challenge towards the end, but I hope you can figure it out beforehand. Now, we're told in Colossians 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We're also told in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Paul is telling the Christian that we're to have the attitude of gratitude, and I feel that we fall far short of that. I know I do. And the challenge that I'm issuing you today is the challenge I'm issuing to myself, because nothing will rob you more of the joy that you're to have than if we don't have a spirit of thanksgiving in us. And so there's three things that I want you to focus on. How do we develop this attitude of gratitude? So many times we think, oh, everything should just come natural to us. Well, most things don't come natural to us, and the things that do, we don't want anyway. Amen. I mean, I naturally had a temper how I grew up, and I'm just not going to go with that as I mature in Christ. And And we all try to pack away our luggage. But this one thing I really want us to focus on and to set a precedent that we can carry not just for the next week, but for the next year and the next lifetime. I think it'd make a big difference for all of us. How do we develop the attitude of gratitude? Well, number one, being thankful is something you say. Being thankful is something we say. We have to allow thankfulness to fill our voices in every conversation that we have. Our mouths are not to be filled with negative words and complaints. And perhaps we would do better to observe the pattern that we have in Scripture. Ezra 3 verse 11, they sang praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 26, 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, David says. Psalm 95, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. He says in Psalms 100, verse 4, his gates, he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. He says, give thanks to him, bless his name. In Psalm 109, verse 30, he says, with my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord. He says in Ephesians 5, verse 2 and 3, Paul writes, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints, that there be no filthiness and silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Giving of thanks can offset all that. That's what we substitute in for what we shouldn't be doing. Ephesians 5 verse 20 says that we are to, quote, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 13 verse 15 calls that giving thanks the fruit of our lips unto God. That's how we offer a meal offering unto God. When we are not verbally being thankful to God, in the words that we say, we become ungrateful grumblers and regretful of those very actions. Amen. You see, there's going to be something coming out of our mouth which is representative of our heart. You get to choose what that is. Amen. God already made his choice. Now he says, now you make the choice. This is what I want coming out of your mouth. Now will you do it or not? You know, there was this guy I remember, Charles, you know, I tell you, I have a confession to make. I have OCD. Okay? I didn't hear any gasp. Oh, my. I do. And I'll tell you, my kids know it. My wife knows it. I took up golfing, okay, years ago. I gave up golfing years ago. You can't perfect that bad boy. Okay? Then I took up another thing, fishing. I had to give up fishing. I had to be a perfectionist in that. I remember I took up bowling. I sold caskets to all the owners of bowling alleys in Iowa City. And one of them was so pleased with what he bought that he allowed me to bowl as long as I want in the afternoons for $5. And sometimes I bowl 20 games. And my right arm was actually getting longer than my left arm. But I tried for the perfect game. Got a 267 one time. I thought, this is going to be the one. I didn't do it. But there was this religious guy that would come there named Charles. And Charles, he'd be bowling. He'd be having a good time. He'd always say, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God, you know. And I got frustrated. I was upset. And I gave Charles my ball. I asked Charles, I said, Charles, what size are your feet? He said, I'm 12. I said, let's see your hands. About the same size. I said, I got to give this up. Take the ball, take the shoes, you get the whole bag, everything. He said, thank God. That's what he said, because he was doing rental at that point. But it stuck in my mind how if you're thanking God all the time, that your attitude is going to be great. And we need to be thanking God all the time. In Budapest, a man goes to a rabbi and complains, "Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do?" The rabbi answered him, "Take your goat into the room with you." I like this picture of the goat here. And a week later, the man came back looking more distraught than before. "We cannot stand it," he tells the rabbi. "The goat is filthy." The rabbi then told him, "Go home and let the goat out. And come back in a week." The radiant man returns to the rabbi a week later, exclaiming, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it. Now that there's no goat, there's only 9 of us." But see, you have to hold things in perspective. Psalm 105, verse 1 and 2, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." If you don't have an attitude of gratitude, you end up with stinking thinking. And stinking thinking is more contagious than the attitude of gratitude. Both are contagious, more than that upper respiratory infection that all of you have right now. But we have a choice to make in what we say. And we're going to have an attitude of gratitude, then substitute those words in for those other things. Let us fill our conversation with thankfulness unto God and be willing to let a few praise Gods roll off your tongue in the next week. Be willing to incorporate "thank God" in my vocabulary. Let your brothers and sisters in the entire world know that you're grateful to your Creator. Let them all know that. And let them know it again and again and again and again and again. But being thankful is not only something we say, it's also something we pray. It's something we pray. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, "I exhort therefore, first of all, that prayers, supplications, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." The word that Paul uses for thanks is eucharistia. It's the word that Jesus had in Matthew 26, 27, and 28. When it says he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said to them, "Drink all of it. This is the blood of my covenant, which I poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." That giving of thanks, eucharistia, that's where the Catholics get that phrase Eucharist from. It's a giving of thanks. And often when we offer our prayers, have you noticed? Go back and think about your prayers. And I hope it isn't true, but it's true for me. If I'm not careful, then my prayers are lowered to the level where I'm just making requests for you, making requests for me. And short on thanksgiving. When if you add up everything that God has already done for us, the mere fact that you're alive,
yes, sir,
that you have life we can be thankful for, the mere fact that you made it here in your car, the mere fact that it's warm in here, the mere fact that we're going to go down and have a bountiful feast, the mere fact that we're still full from what we ate Thursday, and then ate for leftovers Friday, and somebody else invited us over, when there's people all over the world that don't have anything to eat.
Yes,
I mean, we don't even pray for daily bread because we got like 8 months of daily bread in the pantry at home. We got daily bread in the bank. And you know, we become slim on our gratitude and our prayers. Our prayers unto God are to be filled with a great level of thankfulness if we ever expect to have the joy that God wants us to have.
Yes, sir.
In fact, I would say more thanksgiving. You are more blessed than you are not blessed.
Amen.
So you should be offering more thanksgiving and maybe less of the request. Or if you pray for it all, but you better coat it with a nice chocolatey layer of thanksgiving. That's what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, He says, in everything. Now, I didn't have to go look up everything. I think it means everything.
Yes.
He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We want the hearts and the minds guarded. And we offer God requests, and we want some supplications in there. Lord, help this, and please do this, and Lord, this. But then smother it in thanksgiving and send it into God. That's how He designed it. And when we do that, the peace of God, then, the peace of God surpasses all comprehension. Now it begins guarding our hearts and our mind in Christ Jesus. What is it guarding us against? Guarding us against the opposite, being ungrateful. You cannot be a successful Christian and be ungrateful. You can't do it. Psalm 139, verse 14, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Did we do that today? Did you get up and your back hurt? Mine did. I should have been thanking God. Thank you, God. Thank you that you made my nervous system and that I can at least feel my back. Because if I couldn't feel my back, I couldn't walk. I couldn't come to church. I'd have to be sitting in that Silence of the Lamb thing and preach my sermon on Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for making my eyes to see. Thank you, Lord, for making my ears to hear and my hands to move. And thank you, Lord, for making my heart to beat and my nerves to feel. And thank you, Lord, for my digestive system. And are we thanking God for all that? Offer those prayers unto God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, for everything is created by God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. You know, we talk about the liberalities we have in Christ. You know, I'm glad I'm not Jewish or Muslim because I get to have pork. I'm glad I'm not Hindu. I get to have beef. I'm glad I'm not vegan. I get to eat. I get to eat food that casts shadows. The point being is, it's a thanksgiving that makes it possible so that we can accept all food. Don't just say, I have a right. I can eat fried sardines if I want. I could eat this. I could eat that. We have that right. But with it, you have the right to offer thanksgiving for it all. Ephesians 1:16, Paul tells us that he did not cease to giving thanks for the Ephesians in his prayers. He says in 4 verse 12, 2 of Colossians, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert with what? With an attitude of thanksgiving. That's how you stay awake for Christ. Because if you're offering Christ thanksgiving all the time, you're going to be much more alert. Our prayer needs to be saturated in this. When we're thankful to God in our prayers, then we'll be who God wants us to be. Two men were walking through a field one day and they spotted an enraged bull, and instantly they darted to the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, but it was soon apparent they were not going to make it. Terrified, one shouted to the other, put up a prayer, John, we're in for it. John answered, I can't, I've never done a public prayer in my life. All right, panted John, I'll say the only prayer I know, one that my father used to repeat at the table. Oh Lord, for what we're about to receive, make us truly thankful. You can be thankful to God for everything. Everything. Just like Job, who lost, quote, everything. He said, naked from my mother's womb I came, and naked will I go the same. But Lord, oh Lord, blessed be your name. You know, we can be thankful to God for everything. We need to be thankful. It's something we do and what we say. It's something we do and what we pray. And it's something, being thankful is something we display. we display. Giving thanks was always to be on display in the actions of God's people. People should be able to look at us and say, you know what, that guy's thankful to God. They should be able to see that. From the beginning of the human race all the way today, our actions should continually display our gratitude toward God. You know that first offering that Cain made? We talk about what he didn't do, offer the blood sacrifice. Hebrews 11:4, looking forward to the atonement of Christ. That's what he did wrong. But what he did right was he offered a meal offering, which was thankfulness to the creator of the universe. That was the very first offering we have in the Bible that a human made. First offering was God killed an animal to cover their nakedness. The first one man did was to be thankful. It was used to show thankfulness to the Lord in some of the meal and fellowship offerings of Leviticus 7, 2 Chronicles 29, Psalm 50, 56, 116, Jeremiah 17, 26, and on and on and on. And Nehemiah 12:46, the leaders of the people sang praises of thanksgiving to God. Psalm 42, these things I remember and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Revelation 7, verse 12 shows a display of thankfulness of God in heaven. Psalm 30, verse 12 says, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You know, our job description in heaven is going to be thankfulness to God. You might as well practice now, because that's what it's going to be like when you get to heaven. You might as well sample heaven while you're here. And let me tell you, the greatest times I've ever had in prayer to God, I don't know why I can't remember this when I get down, is when I just am thankful to God for all that I do have. When I say nobody knows the troubles I've seen, get down on your knees and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and count your many blessings. Amen. Name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God hath done. What? Doug, what are you saying? Count your blessings. Yes, sir. Really? Yeah, name them one by one. I think I got it. Let's check. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. If you do that, man, you're just lifted up. You feel like the happiest guy in the world. It's what we display. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Gratitude for the birds. Let me close with this story. This gratitude is the gratitude that prompted the old man to visit an old broken pier in the eastern south coast or sea coast of Florida. Every Friday night, until his death in 1973, he had returned walking slowly, slightly stooped, with a large bucket of shrimp. Seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. See, many years before that, in October 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission on a B-17 bomber to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. There was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of radio. The fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched the plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water, the weather, the scorching sun. So they spent many sleepless nights drifting in the ocean. And their raft was continuously slammed. Their largest raft was 9x5. There were 10-foot sharks swimming around them. But But of all their enemies at the sea, the most that proved the toughest was the starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them. And a miracle did occur. Captain Eddie's own words, quote, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, read the service that afternoon, and we finished up with a prayer of deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep some of the glare off, I dozed off. This is still Captain Rickenbacker talking. He says, something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everyone else knew too. No one said a word, but peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at that gull. The gull meant food, if I could catch it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull. Its flesh was eaten. Its intestines were used to bait hooks to catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because of a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. And you know that Captain Eddie made it. And now you also know that he never forgot, because every Friday evening, about sunset, on a lonely stretch of the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy eyebrows, slightly bent, his bucket filled with shrimp to feed the gulls, to remember the one on which, on a day-long pass, gave itself without struggle, like manna in the wilderness. See, Captain Eddie could display in his actions thankfulness unto God. And he was thankful for that lone seagull. And you could see it his whole life. We can also display our actions with thankfulness unto God. How we're living today says thank you. When we try to live a pure life unto God, it says thank you. When we give in the offering dish, you're giving out the abundance of your blessings. You're saying thank you. How you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ says thank you.
Yes, sir.
All these things. People should be able to see on display in our life that we have an attitude of gratitude. So in conclusion, we're to be thankful in what we say, what we pray, and what we display. What would it be like if we just take, and here's the challenge, this week, take those three areas and incorporate that. Do the best you can. Be thankful for everything verbally. Get on your knees, pray more than ever out of gratitude unto God. And then show that thankfulness unto the Lord by living a godly life. What will happen if we do that just for 1 week? Do you think that that would be a good foundation for something we could do the rest of our lives? I truly believe so. And then remind each other. I don't want to get on your nerves or anything. I just want to hear you say it. Okay? I want all of you to say, thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah. Darren, what song did you have picked out?
Step by Step.
Can you do that song, thank you?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's how we want to hear it. Let's express it with our voices. Make this your goal for the next week. Send an email out to your friends on the things you're thankful for. Tell your kids, hey, I'm really thankful for this. And demonstrate it in our actions. I give you this challenge. Send me an email this week. Let me know what you're thankful for. I want that encouragement. I'll fire you one back, okay? Let's do that, you fancy emailers. And if you don't have email, call me. If you don't have a phone or email, then see me after church. But let's encourage one another with this thankfulness, okay? Think about those things while we offer this invitation to whoever would like to respond.